We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program today. We are so thankful that you have made WMIE 91.5 your station of choice on the radio dial today, or digital tuner, depending upon what era of technology you are embracing in your vehicle or at your workplace. So my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and this is the Refresh Radio program, and we're praying that this will be a refreshing season in your life. And so last week I was talking to my office manager, and she was like, man, this is a really busy season. It's I've got so much to do. And she said, I think this is what they call a good problem. And so it's a good problem for us to have, in that there things are increasing at Merritt Assembly of God. We are privileged to minister to a number of young people, and from a wide spectrum of backgrounds. And we're just so thankful for what God has done in that area of ministry. And if you've got kids or young people, teens, that you would like to be trained in the things of God, we'd like to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God. We have programs on Wednesday nights, programs on Sunday morning, Sunday nights for the youth, ages 12 on up. And just got a team put together that is very passionate about ministering to young people and seeing them grow up to be everything that God wanted them to be. We want to say thank you today to Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284. Bill and Heidi have been a part of our church now for going on 10 years, I believe it is. And Heidi does a great job leading our worship. Bill is actively involved in our intercessory prayer team, but he also is very passionate about getting people the help that they need with their air conditioning system. And if that could be a blessing to you to get ready for any more cool spells like we had towards the end of last week, or warmer spells like we will have way too many of here in the coming days. If you need your AC or heat looked at, give them a call, 321-759-3284. He will be honest with you. He will treat you with respect, and he will give you a good bang for your buck as far as the repairs on your unit, or whether, it might be like he told us. He said, Pastor, it is time to replace an air conditioning unit. And so we saved up and took care of that. And so we're looking forward to this year having a much more reliable system in place, where I don't come in on Sunday morning to discover that on Saturday night the air conditioner decided, out of all of the days during the week, that Sunday morning was going to be the day that it decided to go on the fritz. We're looking forward to having reliable air conditioning and heat in our children's ministry wing, and it is in place already, thank the Lord. So, with that being said, if you'd like to come out and worship with us, we would be glad to see you Wednesday night. They've been going through the book of Ephesians as far as a Bible study goes, and I have been ministering to young men. And so if you come, you'll see me for a little bit, and then we disappear into the fellowship hall, where we pour into the lives of young men and try to get them to become men of God like God wants them to be. Amen? Deuteronomy chapter 22. This is going to be one of those passages that whenever you're traditionally reading over it, you just tend to gloss over it and don't really pay attention that much to what it says. I'm just speaking theoretically, because I know that nobody is ever glassy-eyed as you were reading the Word of God and got to the end and said, what did I just read? oh, wait a minute, that's happened to me. I don't think I'm the only one that's ever happened to. But I want to point out a verse to you in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse number 9, and just share a little bit of insight on this verse. Verse number 9, you shall not sow your vineyard with different kinds of seed, lest the yield of the seed which you have sown and the fruit of your vineyard be defiled. Okay? You shall not sow your vineyard with different kinds of seed, and so that the seed that you have sown and the fruit of your vineyard will be defiled. You don't want that to happen. You don't want defiled seed. And since most of us probably do not have vineyards that we are planting, we could look at this verse and say, well, there's nothing in this verse for me to get. There's nothing here that's going to apply to my life. And I want you to look at this verse in relationship to what we've seen in Galatians chapter 6, where we are told that we are to, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And so I want to look at it from this perspective, and that is, don't sow both carnal seeds and spiritual seeds, because when you do that, you are going to reap defiled fruit. It's going to be very frustrating. It's not going to be desirable to look at. It's not going to be palatable. Have you ever stopped to look at your situation and your life, the words that come out of your mouth, and analyze them and say, God, is there, if I was an unbeliever, would there be anything in my life that would make Jesus Christ attractive to those around me? And so I want to be sowing into the Spirit so that the Spirit of God will work inside of me. The Bible says that the Word of God is spiritual and it is spiritually discerned. So whenever I take time and I look into the Word of God, I really enjoyed the study that I've been doing, preparing for the series that we're doing here on the radio program. It's been quite enlightening to me. I've never commented on Deuteronomy 22:9 before. But when God says there are too many people in society or in the church that are sowing into both realms, they're sowing into the carnal realm and into the spiritual realm, and you get mixed signals, you get defiled fruit, you get things that don't look the way God wants them to look. You get things that don't taste the way that God wants them to taste. And I know that there are horticultural specialists, and they have genetically engineered certain plants to produce different things and all of that sort of stuff. But that's not going to bring about the results that we want as far as the spiritual realm. If you plant carnal seeds in your life right next to spiritual seeds in your life, you're going to get a jumbled up mess. And outside, and besides that, what you're going to experience is a great deal of frustration whenever you are sowing both of these different natured seeds in your life. You don't enjoy the spiritual things because of the seeds that have been sown to the flesh. You don't enjoy the carnal things because of the seeds that you've sown to the Spirit and the words that you have had implanted into your life. Those things do not go away. They are not easily uprooted. And so there is all of that God that has been planted inside of you, the Word of God and the principles of God, the wisdom of God, and that prevents people from partaking with the least definition of joy on the world's level. There's no pleasure in that sin. There, you just end up frustrated spiritually. You get frustrated in the other aspect of your life. And it would just be so much better if we focused on sowing into the Spirit of God and allowing the Spirit of holiness to manifest holiness. So we sow into the Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of holiness. There's going to be fruit that resembles the realm that we have sown into. And so I just want to encourage you. If you want a better harvest, don't sow mixed seed. Don't sow carnal seed and spiritual seed. If you want a different harvest, a spiritual harvest, a dynamic harvest, a life-changing harvest, then sow spiritual seed. Now, in Job chapter 4, Job chapter 4, right before the book of Psalms, we're going to touch on a couple of different passages today in Job chapter, in the book of Job. Let's just leave it at that. Job chapter 4, verse number 1. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, "If one attempts a word with you, will you become weary? But who can withhold himself from speaking? Surely you have instructed many, and you have strengthened weak hands. Your words have upheld him who was stumbling, and you have strengthened the feeble knees. But now it comes upon you, and you are weary. It touches you, and you are troubled. Is not your reverence, your confidence, and the integrity of your ways your hope? Remember now, whoever perished being innocent, or where were the upright ever cut off? Even as I have seen, those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same." Okay? And so, even though Eliphaz, as we say in Oklahoma, bless his heart, came as a comforter, he ends up here in chapter 4 becoming an attacker. And he is trying to convict Job of sin that Job hasn't committed. And he says, if you are reaping trouble, it is because you have sown trouble. Okay? It never dawns on him that the devil wants to launch an attack against people who are actually doing the things that God would have them to do. Okay? Never dawned on him that the devil would oppose those who are doing the bidding of God. And his name in the New Testament is the accuser of the brethren. So I just want you to know that it might be worth considering that if you are not experiencing any spiritual adversity, you may not be doing anything substantial enough to even show up on the devil's radar screen. I want to be proactive. I want to be doing God's bidding. And so Eliphaz says, if you reap trouble, it's because you've sown trouble. Now, I want to flip that coin around and say this. If you sow trouble, you will reap trouble. Okay? There are too many people who are sowing bad seed, and there's a harvest of exponentially bad seed that comes their way unless the Lord intervenes. Now, I'm gonna talk about a situation of when we come to this later. But there are some people who they just want to throw a monkey wrench into the life experiences of people that they just don't care to be at peace. There is the saying that hurt people hurt people. So you have to ask yourself sometimes, why are people behaving the way that they do? What is going on? And that's one thing that I constantly have to ask myself whenever I'm ministering and I'm not seeing people respond the way that I want them to, is, okay, is there something that is going on in their life that is affecting their behavior where they don't realize that they're sowing trouble, but they actually are? There's a lot of times, listen, there are many seeds that are sown in people's lives before you really begin to see that harvest. I mean, there's exponential bad decisions that take place. Okay, if one of the things that I tried to tell my kids and young people and the people at church and anybody who is listening is this: plan how you are going to respond to temptation before temptation ever comes your way. Know what the Word of God says so that you know how to rebuttal or provide a rebuttal for what the enemy has to say. Jesus knew the Word of God, so when Satan tried to distort it and pervert it, Jesus was well equipped to come and alter that. You see, the devil sows all sorts of trouble into people's lives. There are people who the Bible talks about would dig a trench for somebody else to fall in, only to fall into it themselves. You don't want to be providing hindrances and obstacles for other people to fall into. The devil will set people up to fail, but Jesus sets people up to succeed. So if you are causing trouble for people, and by trouble, I don't mean that somebody's feelings get hurt. I'm not talking about you didn't say what they wanted you to say. I'm talking about legitimately, intentionally sowing things into people's lives that are going to lead to them being harmed or injured or damaged or undermined or blindsided, ambushed. That's what I'm talking about. We live in a very fragile society right now where, as I told our congregation last year, in the land of deception, truth is offensive. In the land of darkness, light is offensive. And there are many people that unless you tell them the things that they already believe, and if you in any way fail to affirm them the way that they want to be affirmed, they feel attacked and offended. That's not sowing trouble. Telling someone the truth in love is not sowing trouble and discord and strife. That's not what that is. Whenever you are sowing truth in love, you are actually sowing a solution, not creating a bigger problem. Too many times we want to say, okay, how can I make this problem go away? Well, one of the ways that we can do that is we can stop sowing trouble. But if you do have a situation, deal with it once. Solve the root problem, not just the symptom that happens to be in front of you. Ed Silvoso, when he came to Brevard County, I believe it was in 1998. He said, if you have cobwebs in your house, you do not have a cobweb problem. You have a spider problem. If you take care of the spider problem, you are going to take care of the cobweb problem. And so let's make our relationships a little bit more peaceful and a little bit more harmonious by not sowing trouble and problems into the lives of those around us. Now, if you want to sow those seeds, then you can fully expect that that's the harvest. Several years ago, a person said that whenever they were engaging in a moment of intense fellowship, shall we say, they said that they would analyze it and they would say, okay, God, am I reaping or are they sowing? Okay. Sometimes you reap other people's harvest that they, when you come into that situation, it's kind of like collateral damage. There are other people who are reaping a harvest and you just happen to be there at that time. And so you may not have done anything, but they've had a really, really horrible day and you're just in the wrong place at the right time for them to pin your ears back and let you have a royal chewing out. If that's the case, I apologize, but step back and say, wait a minute, I want to respond in a way that I'm not going to go around this mountain myself. A lot of times the things that bother us about other people are things that actually are in seed form inside of us. And we just don't like the full manifestation of it in other people. There are some people who don't like it in other people, but they love it about themselves. So I encourage you, don't sow trouble because you don't want to reap trouble. Okay, let's move over to Job chapter 31. Job chapter 31, we'll finish up in this passage today. Verse number 1 says, I've made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? For what is the allotment of God from above and the inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is it not destruction for the wicked and disaster for the workers of iniquity? Does he not see my ways and count all my steps? If I have walked with falsehood, or if my foot has hastened to deceit, let me be weighed on honest scales that God may know my integrity. If my step has turned from the way, or my heart walked after my eyes, or if any spot adheres to my hands, then let me sow and another eat, let my harvest be rooted out. If my heart has been enticed by a woman, or if I have lurked at my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind for another, and let others bow down over her. For that would be wickedness, yes, it would be iniquity, deserving of judgment, for that would be a fire that consumes to destruction and would root out all my increase. If I have despised the cause of my male or female servant when they complained against me, what then shall I do when God rises up, when he punishes? How shall I answer him? Did not he who made me in the womb make them? Did not the same one fashion us in the womb? If I have kept the poor from their desire, or caused the eyes of the widow to fail, or eaten my morsel by myself, so that the fatherless could not eat of it. But from my youth I reared him as a father, and from my mother's womb I guided the widow. If I have seen anyone perish for lack of clothing, or any poor man without covering, if my heart has not blessed me, and if he has not warmed me with the fleece of my sheep, if I have raised my hand against the fatherless, when I saw I had help in the gate, then let my arm fall from my shoulder, let my arm be torn from the socket, for destruction from God is a terror to me, and because of his magnificence, I cannot endure. I'm going to stop the reading there and just talk about some of these things that Job said would set himself up for a spiritual disconnect from God and from the harvest that God wanted him to have. He says, if lust had been a part of his life, that there would be a spiritual disconnect from the harvest that God wanted him to have. I want to encourage you that you follow Job's example, make a covenant with your eyes so that you do not feast visually on things that you are not supposed to be partaking of. Guys, as part of our nature, we are more affected by visual stimulation than what ladies might be. That's just a generalization, but it's pretty well substantiated. And so if that doesn't happen to be true for you, then, you know, take it as an overgeneralization if you want to. But God wants you to sow, and he wants you to partake in that harvest. And Job says, one of the things you've got to realize is that there is a spiritual disconnect there, that ungodly lust will deprive you of your harvest. I want you to realize that pornography is not a victimless crime or a victimless sin. Human trafficking right now is one of the plagues on humanity, that there's finally getting to be a great deal of attention that is devoted to dealing with the core or with the problems and getting people out of that lifestyle. It's more of a death style than it is to a lifestyle. And I just want to ask you this: would that be something you would want your daughter to participate in? Would it be something that you would want your wife to participate in, or your grandchildren to participate in? If it's not, then don't subject other people's daughters and granddaughters and wives to that. And even if they are consenting to that, you have to ask yourself if Creator God would be granting that consent. And so we need to have and that discussion, from what I understand, I've not done the study, but it is not a problem that is excluded from the church, but there's a pretty pervasive issue with men in the church that deal with this issue as well. And so I don't want you to fail to have I don't want you to fail to partake in your harvest. I don't want you shut out from your own harvest. Deception. is another thing that is mentioned there in the early part of the chapter. I'm starting to run out of time here, so let me just run down some of these. Immorality is something that God does not look upon. He says in verse number 2, "For what is the allotment of God from above and among the inheritance of the Almighty from on high?" Verse number 9 is where I want to go. "If my heart has been enticed by a woman, or if I've lurked at my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind for another, and let others bow down over here, for that would be wickedness." Okay? You need to remember to keep your covenant relationships the covenant relationships. If you have, in verse number 13, it says, "If I have despised the cause of my male or my female servant," if you've treated others badly, there can be a harvest disconnect. If you have neglected the poor, in verse number 16, it will result in others partaking of your hard work, of the seeds that you have sown. It will bring blessings to others instead of yourself. So don't neglect the poor. If you have worshipped wealth, in verse number 24, if you have rejoiced over others' destruction, in verse number 29, all of those things have weight and bearing on our harvest. That's in Job chapter 31. So lust, deception, immorality, treating others badly, neglecting the poor, worshipping wealth, rejoicing over others' destructions and over their misfortune, if you will, all of those things, God says, affects the ability that we have to harvest the seeds that we've sown. I want to sow good seed. I want to sow spiritual seed. I don't want a mixed harvest field where I'm sowing partly into the spirit realm and partly into the carnal realm. I want to be all in to sowing into the spiritual realm, because I want a spiritual harvest for you. I want a spiritual harvest for me. I don't want to sow trouble. I want to sow blessing. I want to sow problem solving, not trouble creating. And I certainly want to sow holiness in a tangible manifestation in my life. So, and that will manifest in the way that we treat others. So I don't have to covet what belongs to someone else, because I've got a God who is the Lord of the harvest, and he's going to bring the harvest that I need at just the right time. And so I can afford to be a blessing to other people and take care of the poor and treating others with respect. I can do all of those things because I have a God who is really, really good. And he's not just able to bring a partial harvest. He's able to bring a blessing and an abundant harvest that you and I all have room. Listen, he says he would open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that we don't have room enough to contain. I think that kind of God with that kind of provision can take care of us. God bless you. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merit Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, bring you something new. I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you.